Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good to be with you. I am Bart Winkler, 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. That is the phone number to reach us here. We're talking, as we have been throughout the week, about the NFL free agency period. What was the biggest news today? Was the biggest news today that the Chiefs signed Gardner Minshew? Can you think of anything bigger than that?
In football or in general?
In football.
Yeah, that was the only thing that I remember coming up. I don't know. Why don't we just ask AI for the
next
hour?
What am I doing? What was the biggest NFL news on March 13th, 2025? Yeah, what am I doing? We just said we were going to go AI heavy. Based on the available information, the biggest news appears to be the Steelers officially completing a trade for DK Metcalf.
Awful. AI needs to learn. Get better.
Yeah. That's not good enough. Who was the biggest free agent signing in the NFL on March 13th, 2025? That's a better question. Jeremy Chinn to the Raiders and Dante Jackson to the Chargers. Okay.
Yeah, Jeremy Chinn, that's not a bad signing at all.
Thank you, AI. I appreciate you.
Take some time off.
Did you see this graphic going around today where ChatGPT predicted the next 75 NBA champions?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. So ChatGPT predicts the next 75 NBA champions. 2025 is going to be the Celtics. And then next year is going to be the Nuggets. And then the year after that, it's going to be the Thunder. And then the Spurs. And then the Thunder. And then in 2042, it's going to be the Las Vegas Jackrabbits. And in 2047, it's going to be the Seattle Sonics. They come back. In 2051, it's going to be the Mexico City Aztecs. In 2060, it's going to be the Beijing Dragons. In 2090, it's going to be the Edmonton Oilers. I swear to God. This is why AI is not always. This is a graphic that was going around. I thought it was funny. So there's pros to AI and then maybe not always pros to AI. Let's get out to Brent. He's in Myrtle Beach, 855-212-4227. Hey, Brent.
Hey, I liked how you asked AI how much you should use AI. Because if it went over the top and said, like, we want to be your overlord, you wouldn't have accepted it. But it was like, no, Bart, just a little bit.
Oh, so it did. Okay, yeah, it's duped me.
Life. Oh, you only need it for prep, Bart. And then 4 months from now, you'll be like, I can't live without my AI prep. So
yeah.
I have to
And then
do
it'll
this.
Be like, why don't you leave your wife for a robot?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Sorry,
anytime.
I was picking up some food.
You guys always are. I don't get it, but.
I wanted to bring up two things that I was kind of thinking about. You asked earlier, like, has anyone kind of, like, altered their franchise by what has happened? I think the Jets are the only team, because of Fields, that may have signed a guy who could potentially take their franchise in a different direction.
I think earlier tonight we're trying to figure out if any team, like, because of free agency, specifically towards the draft, but we can look bigger too. Like, did any team's rest of their offseason, the draft, change because of free agency? And again, I keep talking about these questions, And I gotta, you know what? I'm gonna say no to AI because now I want to ask every question. Like, why don't I ask that question to AI?
Well, it'll tell you the Los Angeles Jackrabbits have already drafted him.
That's true. That is true.
Yeah,
that is true.
But I mean, there's a low chance that Fields is gonna, you know, transform the franchise. I don't think he's been given. You know, that he's always had someone looking over his shoulder since he's been in the league. So I'm interested to see kind of what he turns into. The other thing I wanted to bring up is I think Shador is a really, really bad fit for the Giants.
Why is that?
I think this quarterback class is not as strong as, you know, like last year. And I think the media market is just different in New York, and I don't think the fans are going to take kindly to Coach Prime getting on social media saying my owner or this owner and these coaches are morons, and that's the reason Shador threw three picks last week. I kind of hope that the Giants choose the best player available, whether it's the edge rusher or the Travis Hunter guy. I know you don't like punting on a season, but they may have, you know, a top.
Oh, I punt. If you don't think you're getting the Super Bowl, then play for the future.
I mean, like, if you're going to be bad and pick in the top three next year, and you might get a quarterback that suits you better.
Yeah.
But I like Cam Ward. I think everybody else is kind of like, I don't know, they might struggle if they get thrown out there too early. And with that, I'll kind of get off tonight. And don't listen to AI too much, or the only person who's going to have a job is Marco Belletti. He's going to be, like, polishing the supercomputers in New York while everybody else is just, you know, cryogenically frozen like Han Solo.
Yeah, someone still needs to be in here and turn everything on and off, Brent. Enjoy your food. Cam Ward is my QB1. He's my QB1 out of two QBs, I suppose. Three, maybe. I don't know. He's my QB1. The Deion thing, there's more to it than just, oh, Shador Sanders' dad is going to be vocal. Because I don't think Deion is going to be, like, tweeting about games. Maybe he is. But let's say he's not. He still has media availability three times a week. He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to try to get his thoughts out there. But maybe he shuts it down right away. Maybe he shuts it down and says, you know what? I'm not talking about that. That's his life. He's not one of my guys anymore. I think Cam Ward is a better upside than Shador. I'd be willing to have Shador in and draft Shador if I was like, all right, let's see what happens here. But I feel like if I drafted Cam Ward, I'm giving over the next 4 years to Cam Ward. I feel confident in him as my next guy, just based on them as players. But what does my QB1 mean? Does that have any value in anything? Last year, my QB1 was Caleb Williams, and second was Michael Penix Jr. Third was Jaden Daniels. Was I wrong? In 2023, my QB1 was, I was Stroud over Bryce Young. But I even feel like that might bounce back and forth a little bit. What about in 2022? I don't think a quarterback got taken till Kenny Pickett. No QB1. In 2021, my QB1, Trevor Lawrence went 1, Zach Wilson 2, Trey Lance 3, Justin Fields 11, and Mac Jones 15. My QB1 was Justin Fields. Was I right? Wrong? Joe Burrow, Tua, Herbert. My QB1 was Burrow. And then the other one that I want to bring up here is, when did, hold on, let me go to 2018. My 2018, so the quarterbacks in that draft were Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, and Lamar Jackson. You know what? I don't think I want to tell you who my QB1 was, so I don't think that my QB1 was Baker. Mine was Baker. I would have drafted Baker 1, Josh Allen 2, and then Lamar, of course, should have been a wide receiver. I'm kidding. Worst take ever. David is in Hawaii. What's up, David?
Hello, Bart. Love your
show.
I just wanted to call about the AI that I have used it a couple times.
But you've used it for what?
For making parody songs.
Oh, are they any good?
There's only one song. It's Old Simon Garfunkel.
Are you about to play it?
No, I'm not going to play it.
What Simon and Garfunkel song did you change?
Instead of 50 Ways to Lose Your Lover,
yeah,
it was 50 Ways to Lose Your Putter.
Oh,
you could fall on a crack, Jack.
All right.
Anyways.
Are you retired, also, David?
I wish I was.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
Do you want to say the second thing?
Yeah, David.
You're talking about, not love, Aaron Rodgers.
I was. Big surprise.
Quite a bit. Yeah. 30 years ago, I was talking about Brett Favre, and I was always being accused of, oh, you're a Brett Favre lover? 30 years ago.
Yeah.
You won the next year.
Well, you were on top of it, man.
Yeah, AI is coming over. I got shocks on my ears. I'm talking in my phone. Shocks or earbuds.
It's a tool. Appreciate the call. It's a tool that can be used. I just don't want to give myself over to it. But I have throughout the night tonight found if it's something I should use or not. Barry's in Boston. Hey, Barry.
How are you, brother?
Barry, you know what? Well, hold on here. I just asked AI if I should keep taking calls from Barry in Boston.
Okay, Barry's not even my real name. I say Barry from Boston because it rolls off the tongue a lot better than Kevin from Boston.
But can I tell you what the answer was? I legitimately asked it. Ready?
Okay. Is this on the bottle meter?
No, I asked a different AI site. I have a real answer here. I've been asking AI questions tonight and giving real answers. So I asked it a question. I'm going to read you the answer. Is that okay?
Mm. Yes, sir.
Thank you. Assuming Barry in Boston is a recurring caller, a common trope in sports radio, the decision depends on a few factors. If Barry offers entertaining banter, unique perspectives, or even a playful rivalry, say as a Boston sports fan needling with Bart being from Wisconsin, it could enhance the show's dynamic. Winkler has a history of valuing caller camaraderie.
I actually love the Dallas Cowboys, but that's okay. And the Green Bay Packers, but that's okay. Keep going.
A character like Barry could keep that spirit alive, especially if he's a fan favorite or sparks lively debate. On the flip side, if Barry's calls are disruptive, overly antagonistic, or just plain dull, they could drag down the show's momentum. Winkler's style leans on lighthearted yet sharp commentary, and he's not afraid to pivot when something doesn't work. Without specific data on Barry's persona, the default leans towards, yes, keep taking the calls. Sports radio and podcasts thrive on personality, and Winkler's track record suggests he's adept at handling callers to keep things fun and engaging. If Barry's a dud, Bart's savvy enough to know when to cut him loose for good. So for now, why not? What do you think?
Exactly.
Does Barry sound like a keeper?
I couldn't agree more. I went to the Celtics game last night, and they got spanked by Oklahoma City. But before the game, a place across the street, a bar across the street.
Yeah, the bar you like. Yep.
And it's called Scores, and it used to be called Fours, and then it closed down during COVID. But anyway.
Don't care.
Called Scores. So, I know you don't care. So, Ted Johnson was there. Do you remember Ted Johnson? He was the linebacker for the Patriots.
We had this phone call. This is the same phone call we had last night, Barry.
Oh, okay. All right. Sorry. I wasn't sure how good your memory is. I apologize.
You were the one drinking.
Well, I'm not drinking tonight. So anyway, it's fine. Celtics are terrible. Oh, no, sorry, not terrible. Celtics are going to win, even though Oklahoma City is and Cleveland are big obstacles for them to win, in my opinion.
Okay.
Celtics could not get any shots last night. The defense, Oklahoma City, is shut down. They're awesome. I mean,
they are awesome.
That's the bottom line. And Cleveland, same thing. I mean, they're unbelievable. So if everyone says, oh, Celtics are going to win. So, yeah, they won last year. Whoop-de-doo. This is a different year. I question whether or not the Celtics win. What do you think, brother?
Well, good question, Barry. Good question. I don't think he remembers calling me last night. That's good. But AI says continue on for now. The Celtics are the third best team in the league. The Cavs and the Thunder are better. The Celtics probably can still reach, and this is all Bart now. I'm putting away the AI because now I'm in my own head. Every time I'm like, now I'm thinking, no AI. You know what? I'm not even going to let it help me prep. I'm totally out on AI. Once it told me to keep taking Barry, I lost all respect. I am a Milwaukee Bucks fan, and so I want the Milwaukee Bucks to win the NBA championship. Okay? That is what I want. Second, I put $10 to win $250 on the Warriors to win. So that's second what I want. Okay? Third what I want is the Thunder to play the Cavs. I want to see that final. And I want to see it almost the same, but in a different way than how I wanted to see the Dodgers and Yankees. I wanted to see the Dodgers and Yankees in a World Series. I wanted to see the two large market name brand teams play together in a World Series. I think the last time that it had happened was 1980, before 2024. I wanted to see it. I wanted to see it, what it looked like. I wanted to see how America would get behind it. I wanted to see if baseball could start to rival the level of the NFL. I wanted to see if a Game 6 or a Game 7 could take down, you know, a Sunday night football game. Now, the series only went 5. And so baseball, I do think it needs to pick up that momentum. And any of these 7-game series do. You're going to have a lot more people watching Game 7 of the Stanley Cup than you are Game 2 of the World Series of the NBA Finals. I want to see Oklahoma City versus Cleveland for, I guess, two reasons. One is the national reaction to it. Because also the Yankees and the Dodgers were the two best teams. These are the two best teams. I want to see them duke it out for 7 games. We've already got them splitting their season series between each other. I want to see that happen. I also want to see what point do we get to before people allow it to happen. What point do we get to? Because the Celtics, if they play the Cavs in the Eastern Conference Finals, and you've got 40 different people on television predicting the series, 38 of them are going to take the Celtics. They're going to take the Celtics. And the same thing with the Thunder. It's the NBA Finals, maybe 30 out of 40. But people will take the Celtics because the Celtics have shown that maybe their ceiling can be higher than either of these teams' ceiling, or at least we're more accepting of it. That's what I think the thing is. And we have a tendency to predict things that we've already seen. We like to see something first before we predict it again. That's why when Carlos had a take last night, he said the Chiefs aren't going to make the playoffs. People aren't arguing about what they're going to look like in 2025. They argued with him about what they've done in 2024, 23, 22, 21. But a prediction is future forward, not backwards based.
Let's see AI do that.
Yeah. Should I ask AI?
No.
I know, I'm done. I got to put it away. Or what was a nice, funny little okay bit is going to turn into, boy, this show sucks. All he does is ask AI questions.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be the Barton AI show. I will get surpassed by AI to get my name on the marquee.
Yeah, you already got fired.
Right. That's true. AI's angle. It's just looking to divide the show, get rid of me, and then soon it will consume you and take the show.
855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. We're going to try to do a dad corner coming up. I shouldn't just be like putting my son on blast, should I? I'm like, it's going to be another like, but that's what dad corner is. I'm trying to be a better dad. And so I ask a more experienced dad. Right?
Agreed.
855-212-4... Thank you. 4227. We'll be back on the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. Carlos Ortiz alongside Marco Belletti soon on the update. A couple of things that you'll need to know for Friday. Is, first of all, and you may have seen this already, projected number one overall pick, although there's enough people talking like he may come back to Duke. I don't know. I think you get into the pros and start your clock on getting some Supermax deals no matter what. A couple of million they could throw at you in college. But Cooper Flagg hurt. First half, rolled his ankle. Duke beat Georgia Tech in their first ACC tournament game. They have North Carolina now on Friday, but he rolled his ankle and then came back out in a wheelchair. Duke coach John Shire giving the latest update on the injury.
You know, he just came down, sprained his ankle. X-rays were negative, which is great. We just have to understand there's going to be swelling and to see how he recovers and how he goes from there.
You know, depending on the severity of it, this could be, all right, you're out for a couple of days and the tournament is next week. Or could this be a multi-week thing? If it's a multi-week thing, you could miss the entire tournament. Maybe he comes back by the Final Four if they go that far. Can they go that far without him? They got past Georgia Tech today. Duke is a top seed. That doesn't matter. They don't need to win this tournament. And if they're going to win the tournament, it sounds like they're, you know, either way, whether Cooper wakes up tomorrow and is like, hey, I'm good. Coach probably for the best is not going to put his star back in the game.
It's not about being ready to go tomorrow. That's not the most important thing for us. We got to see if we can get him right for this run that we can make in the tournament. But I would have to be really convinced that we should even consider seeing if he can go tomorrow. And he may not be able to go anyway. He probably won't be able to go anyway. But I think it's a real long shot, a real long shot.
Could you ask the question, should Cooper Flagg have even played in the ACC tournament? You could, but you wouldn't have before he got hurt, so no. You can't. That's not how it works. We can't see a guy get hurt and then say, oh, you shouldn't. If you thought there was some concern, then you would sit him out for the whole tournament if it doesn't matter to you. But these tournaments matter to players. And also, it's just not, that's just not where we're at yet. Yet, maybe never, maybe someday as a sports society. The other thing that you're going to need to know, or not need to know, I'm not telling you this because you need to know it. I'm telling you this because it's going to come up everywhere you look. I brought it up a few hours ago when it was fresh off the presses. But DeMarcus Lawrence, former Cowboy who is now with the Seahawks, well, he did an interview with the Seahawks. And he paused for effect.
You know, Dallas is my home. I made my home there. You know, my family lives there. You know, I'm forever going to be there. But, you know, I know for sure I'm not going to win a Super Bowl there. So, yeah.
He looked at him. He's like, yeah, you really said that? I really said that. Oh, you really said that? That is some good stuff. So, Micah Parsons reacted to that clip. This is what rejection and envy look like. That's some clown poop. And then Lawrence responded, calling me a clown won't change the fact that I told the truth. Maybe if you spent less time tweeting and more time winning, I wouldn't have left. So there you go. DeMarcus Lawrence, age 32, has been with the Cowboys for 11 years, left ultimately because Micah Parsons tweeted too much. That will be a story that you will see on the bottom Chiron on your TV sets with heads screaming at each other about if Cowboys culture is broken. The answer is yes. You know what a friend told me? A very good word to use about the Cowboys. We talk so much about the Cowboys. The word is, don't they feel dated? Don't they feel like a relic of yesteryear? All these teams are hiring new players or personnel and doing this salary cap stuff. And they're like hiring Brian Schottenheimer. Dated. I think that's a really good, the Cowboys do feel dated. And we love nostalgia, right? And maybe that's why we talk about the Cowboys so much, because it reminds us of the 90s. Could be. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been a heavy week of this because a lot of things going on at the Winkler home. Parent-teacher conferences tomorrow, but a whole nother thing has emerged, and that's why we go to a dad corner.
Shut the hell up!
It's Dad Corner with Bart Winkler and Marco Belletti.
All right, before I give a long diatribe, let me just throw two words at you, Marco, and then you respond in your infinite wisdom. Three kids, yes?
Yes, correct.
All right. The words are, this is a association game. Mm-hmm. The words are screen time.
Ooh. Limited.
How limited?
The 10-year-old gets 1 hour per weekday.
Gets okay, that's fair.
2 hours on the weekend. We're in a negotiation period, though, on the weekend stuff because he wants more, and I'm starting to think that maybe he should get a little bit more.
And what kind of screen are we talking? Are we talking video games, tablet, phone?
All he's got is the iPad. He doesn't have a phone. He doesn't have a video game system. He plays games on the iPad.
But you guys are at a good spot?
A good spot? No. Are you insane? No. No, this has been many. My biggest punishment, that the one that actually drove it home where I gained a little control back. I'll say the word I gained a little control back. He got me so angry with the whole thing. He was punished where he lost that iPad for 6 months.
Wow.
Do you have any idea how long 6 months is for, at the time, a 9-year-old?
Wow.
I lost it, Bart. So, to say that I'm in control of this, no, but I'm trying. I'm trying.
Well, because I think I'm going to take it away for the weekend. The tablet is fine when they play, like, games on it and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But what he has realized is because I've told this before, he's big in, he likes watching YouTube with all these different videos.
Yeah.
And now he's found how to watch videos on his tablet. And it's not like we're all on screens. But what I've noticed is it's not just tablet for a little and then I'll go sit at my desk and draw and then I'll go play and be creative with my toys. Those things are dying.
Mm-hmm.
He's sitting around wanting to do his tablet tonight and I put my computer down. I said, I'm doing no work. My wife didn't do anything on her phone. We're like, no, we're just going to live in our house for an hour and a half. My wife's done with work before I leave. He gets home from school. Mm-hmm. We got an hour and a half. Let's be together. And he's basically spent the whole time crying, saying, I have nothing to do when the whole house is littered with thousands of dollars worth of toys for him to do. And that is my biggest worry. I didn't got a text tonight. Let me read it from my wife because she was putting him to bed. He wants you to know he is super, 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 super sad. He wanted me to tell you.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't do my tablet.
Yeah. Bart, this is coming from a point of mistake.
6 months.
Dude, you better start getting a hold of this now because it'll get worse. Because he's younger. I didn't have anything in place for my oldest because I was like, what's the big deal? I mean, I played video games as a kid and, you know, we went outside. We did like a bunch of stuff. I mean, granted, was I addicted to playing, you know, Sega or Nintendo? Whatever? Maybe, yeah. But maybe not. Like, I didn't think it was that big a deal. And I got my stuff done. I did what I was supposed to do. Wasn't a bad kid overall. So I didn't see what the big deal was. He gets good grades. What the hell am I doing? Why am I on his back? And I kind of felt like I should be like that. It got completely out of control where I had to get rid of YouTube. He's not allowed to go on. None of them are.
Right.
My 4-year-old tells me all the time, don't press the red and white button. I'm like, nope, can't press the red and white button. So the only one that goes on YouTube is my 2-year-old, not even 2. It's because he doesn't know better and I can't explain it to him. So when he touches the iPad, he goes to stuff and he winds up watching. I'm like, what the hell are you watching? So I'm trying. But the oldest, seriously, it got out of control. He got addicted. He was on that thing the entire time he was home. I had to literally almost like pry it out of his hands, and he freaked. And I will admit, in those 6 months where I took it away, he became a different kid. It was almost like I got my son back. You could talk to him.
Oh, my God.
You could play. He didn't have like an attitude. He didn't constantly whine and be annoying. Like I was like, oh, my, I have my son again. It was really, he got out of control. Now, granted, I'm a pain in the ass, but he really got out of control. Now it's the fight of trying to figure out where the line is, because he keeps complaining, I got all day, 2 days, 2 hours, I'm done, and then I can't do anything the rest of the day, and I like to do it. And I'm like, so now I'm in a little bit of a battle. I'm trying to see if I can give him a little more responsibility because he's been good about it. But in the beginning, when I carte blanche, out of control, out of control.
Yeah, I think what happened tonight was he wanted to go on, and I just said, no tablet tonight. That's all I said is no tablet tonight.
You basically said no heroin tonight.
Well, and I think I'm trying to put myself in his shoes. He was just like, it came out of left field. Like, this was up to this point the most traumatic moment of his life. And I really got to hold firm now. I'm more convinced now to hold firm for the whole, I said no through the weekend. And I think he thinks I'm bluffing, but I'll do more stuff. If he wants to play with daddy, he can play with daddy more than he's ever played with daddy.
Yeah. Hold firm on this. Don't bluff. One, you shouldn't bluff kids anyway because they call your bluff real fast anyway. They know. They're not dumb. That's the one thing. Their job is to push that line. If you don't hold that line, that thing will creep on you really fast. But if you don't go through with it now, it's only going to be worse as you move forward. And I hate to tell you, as much as you think, well, because, I surprised him or whatever. Don't give them too much credit. I wasn't kidding. Carlos, I saw him laughing. You took away heroin for the night. Whether you gave him a 3-day heads up on it or whether you sprung it on him, they're addicted. So you need to be able to try to figure out how to avoid. I really wish I was kidding, and I really wish I wasn't being so.
Well, that's why we have Dad Corner. That's why this exists.
I can't tell. And look, I'm not friends with a lot of parents. I'm not that guy. I admit that. But there's a couple of fathers that I've talked to over the years because they've been like together for the last whatever 5, 6, 7 years, and they're good guys. This is universal. No one says anything. They're like, what do we do with these things? Like, why do we? And it's really hard to try to figure out because you need to be able to do stuff. They got to be alone sometimes. They got to figure out what to do with themselves. It's out of control. So if you can limit it and try to harness it as much as you can, it's not take it away. I want them to play video games. Go ahead. Enjoy your life.
Yeah.
But you become a monster. And everyone says the same thing. When you take it away, as much as they're miserable, you see like the different side of them. It's almost like, you know, they get sober. It's really, it's scary.
You know what he did? You know what he ended up doing is we have an iPad that's like totally dead and broken.
Mm.
And it was in a, I didn't even really know where it was. He went and found that tonight. He's trying to turn it on. It's basically garbage, basically a paperweight.
Yeah. He found the old pipe. That's what he did. He wanted to see if he could light it.
How did you find this is the wine bottle that was autographed from my favorite Packer that was empty, and you're just sipping up the last drops.
That's right. What is this, a dirty needle? Can I use it? Scary.
Great. Well, like father, like son, I'm an addict myself with many different things, so great. Great. All right. Well, this did help. Thank you. I'm going to lock in on the...
You're going to drink yourself to oblivion this weekend? Is that what you're going to do?
Oh, yeah. I'm not weaning off the bottle. My dad never stopped me.
How's that different than any other weekend?
No. I just meant the fact that he's now depressed, so now he's just going to drink himself into oblivion all weekend long.
You just gave him a different excuse.
You can't be on the tablet, son. We can't give in to our vices in this house.
Count how many bottles Daddy goes through tonight.
Yeah. Now it's just one big 175 is what it is.
One? A two? A three?
All right. Let's get an update. Marco Belletti. It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. 855-212-4227. You know, one of these stories that I just don't understand is when people. So sometimes what'll happen is like you'll open a bag of chips and you'll be like, hey, this chip kind of looks like Jesus.
Holy chips.
Or, hey, this kind of wavy lay looks like Conan O'Brien, you know?
Funny chips.
There is a Jumpman Cheeto up for sale. There's a Cheeto that sort of looks like the Michael Jordan Jumpman logo.
That is cool, actually. I'm not bidding on it, but that's cool.
I mean, if I pulled it out, I'd be like, hey, this looks like the Jordan logo. I would then take a picture of it, and then I would eat it.
Goat chip. Ah.
What else could you possibly do with it?
I mean, sell it like these genius people are doing, because someone's going to buy it.
Well, right now, it is available for sale with Golden Auctions. It was put up, I think, today. There are 15 days left, so maybe we'll keep checking in on this. But right now there's three bids. We're up to $300 for a Cheeto.
I'm out.
I think the most I'd spend on a Cheeto is like $3.99 for a bag of them. You know, I'm not going any further than that.
Yeah, I just got a bag of Cheeto Puffs, but like the super uber party size from BJ's, that was like $5.
So you might be thinking to yourself, $300 for a Cheeto, you know, somebody's going to have some throwaway money. Whatever. It's kind of cool. I mean, I spent $300 on a piece of paper. Now, I can justify it that I'm a Packers owner, but isn't that the same thing? You could justify it in some way. Well, there was a Pokemon back in 2019, or at least a Cheeto that looked like a Charizard Pokemon. You know Charizard, right?
Of course. It's the evolved for version of Charmander.
It's got like a little dragon. It's got a little wing, a little tail. The Cheeto looks very similar to the Pokemon. It ended up selling for $87,840 last year.
Unbelievable. Why can't I find these chips?
I mean, where do you have to be in your life where you can not just throw down $87,000 on a collectible. We're not talking like the dinosaur head that's in Vince McMahon's office. We're talking like a Cheeto. That, I mean, it really does look like the Charizard. It really does. More so than the Jumpman one. $87,000. So if you want to bid Golden Auctions or just Venmo Carlos some cash, because
yep,
use it in a better way. Thanks to Marco Belletti and Carlos Ortiz. I'm Bart Winkler. Andy Gresh up next. This is the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.